January 13, 1928, how God centralized everything in man in creating him, and how, in the history of creation, he now comes back to storm it, and centralizes the first act of creation in one creature from their stock, to form the kingdom of his will. I continue my abandonment in the divine volition, with the almost continuous torment of the privation of my sweet Jesus. Oh! God, what terrible pain! Oh! How I miss my past, his sweet smile, his affectionate kisses, the gentleness of his voice, his enchanting and enrapturing beauty, his chaste embraces, his tender heartbeats which, with so much love, he let palpitate within mine, divinizing me and transforming his life into myself. Each act of Jesus, each word and each gaze, were as many more paradises that he formed in his little daughter. And now, as I remember them, they are wounds, sharp darts, burning arrows of intense sorrow, of martyrdom and of continuous death. But my sorrow is not all here. Maybe grieving would have been a relief, because my grief would have told me in clear notes that my love toward the one whom I loved and who had loved me so much, formed my torment. But not even this is conceded to me, because as the wounds are about to bleed, the darts to shoot, the arrows to burn me, the light of the holy divine volition flows in them, and eclipsing all the intensity of my hard martyrdom, it makes peace, happiness, beneficial dew, flow over my poor soul. So, I cannot even have the good of grieving over a loss so great. Oh! If I could grieve as before, I believe that my highest good, Jesus, would not take so long to come back. But this is not in my power. I am at the mercy of the divine fiat, which leaves not one void in me, and wants to lord even over my sorrow of the privation of Jesus. Now, while I was swimming in the two seas, the sorrow of being without Jesus, and the sea of the light of the divine volition, such that it seemed that one was fused in the other, I continued my round in it, and I paused at the creation of man. And my sweet Jesus, just barely moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, in creating man, our divinity centralized everything in him. As if we had done nothing in all the rest of creation, we put everything aside and occupied ourselves only with him. Our love reached the excess. We looked and looked at him, over and over again, to see whether he was beautiful, whether our beauty would shine forth in him. Our divine being poured like pouring rain over him. And do you know what it poured? Sanctity, light, wisdom, grace, love, beauty, strength. And while we unloaded ourselves over him, our gazes were fixed upon man, to see whether all our qualities were centralized in him, in such a way that he was to lack nothing in order for us to love him and be loved in return. So much so, that his beauty enraptured us, his love invested us, all of our qualities, placed in him, echoed in our divine being, bound us and brought us to him. What a solemn time, what an unforgettable point, what ardor of love was the creation of man. All of our divine qualities overflowed outside and celebrated his creation. And as the fulfillment of our feast, joy and happiness, shaken by our own love, we looked at the machine of the whole universe and we gave him everything as gift, constituting him king of all created things, so as to be able to say, to ourselves and to him, dominating kings are we, king and dominating is the work of our hands, the dear Son delivered in the outpouring of our love. It would have been unseemly and not decorous for us to make of our Son a servant dissimilar to us in likeness and in dominion. Would it perhaps not be unseemly and unworthy of a king to make of his Son a vile servant, putting him out of his royal palace, in a poor hovel? This king would deserve the blame of all and would be held, not as father and king, but as a tyrant. Much more so, since our newborn came out from within the depths of our divine love, and therefore we wanted the decorum and the imprint of royalty in our work. Now, this love of ours was broken by man, and by withdrawing from our divine will, He himself removed from himself the imprint of royalty and the insignia of king. However, on our part nothing changed, and we persisted in our will of making of the work of our hands the Son King, not servant. And therefore, in the whole history of creation, we now come back to storm it, and to the fulfillment of our will, and we call one from their stock. And putting everyone aside, as if no one else existed, we renew the solemnity of the creation of the first man. The ardor of our love forms huge waves and makes us see everything as love. And placing this creature in the midst of these waves, even though our all-seeingness sees everything, we put everything aside, and with this one we renew the great prodigy of the first act of creation. We did so with the sovereign queen. And since she did not break our love and preserve the life of our will within herself, she has the title and the right of queen. Oh! How our love rejoices and makes feast in seeing in her the first queen of the work of our creative hands. But our love is not content with having only one queen, nor was this our will in creation. And therefore, pouring itself out very strongly and releasing its contained waves, our love calls this creature, and centralizes in her the whole work of creation. It pours upon her like pouring rain, it overflows with its divine qualities, in order to have the second daughter queen, to make her form the foundations of the kingdom of our will, so as to be able to have the retinue of our children, all kings and queens. This is why I am putting everything aside to operate in you the first act of creation. My love forms the enchantment for me, that while I look upon others, it makes me keep my gaze fixed on you, and it makes me pour everything that is needed in order for me to form the kingdom of my will in you. I act like a father who, having provided for his other children to get settled, and having to do so for another one, does not think either about the previous ones or about those whom he is to fix later. But putting everyone else aside, he thinks only of the one whom he is about to settle. And if this son is good, and she whom he chose is worthy of him, the father does not mind how much he spends, he endows him with greater riches, he prepares a sumptuous house for him. In sum, he puts out all his paternal love. So I do when it comes to realizing the purpose of creation, which is the kingdom of my will in the midst of creatures. For she whom I call to be the first, I hold nothing back, I centralize everything in her, knowing that everything will be inherited by those who will follow her.